We continue our study of the good news in 7:1 with Lesson 3, Part 2. Lesson 3 was obeying the gospel and the one spirit. In Part 2 of Lesson 3, we want to look at the Word of God and answer the question, when and how were the miraculous signs and wonders given? We're going to begin by reading Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we see this taking place. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them dividing tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. And because everyone heard them speak in his own language, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 48, we read of the conversion of the household of Cornelius. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his house, and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and devout soldiers from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and letting down to earth. And it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by an holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up and said, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said unto them, You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, For what reason have you sent me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up, and the third day showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses shown before of God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Notice Peter preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when he preaches that to a man who already feared God, who already prayed to God, who already did good deeds, there was a commandment that he was to give this man Cornelius of what he should do. And we'll see that it was the same commandment that Peter had given to the Jews that he had preached to in Acts chapter 2, the commandment to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Let's continue to read. It says, To him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said, Can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God performed a miracle to prove to Peter and the other Jewish witnesses, seven total, that the Gentiles could also be saved from their sins. And so, upon proof that the Gentiles could become Christians, Peter commands them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Let's look at Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, as Peter retells the story. Now, the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter explained it to them in order from beginning. Saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Notice Peter and six more Jewish brethren were witnesses of these things. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He will tell you words by which you and all your house will be saved. Cornelius and his house were going to be saved by hearing the words of the gospel preached and obeying those words. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, Then God hath also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. These miraculous signs were given by a baptismal measure on the apostles at Pentecost so that all people could hear the preaching of the good news in their own language, and also on the household of Cornelius to prove to the seven Jewish witnesses that Gentiles were also candidates to hear and obey the good news as well. Does it mean in Acts chapter 10 verse 15 when Jesus said, What God hath cleansed? And in Acts chapter 10 verse 47 when Peter said, Receive the Holy Ghost, that these Gentiles were saved before baptism? The Gentiles were called clean in Acts chapter 10 verse 15 because the law of uncleanness was nailed to the cross. In Colossians chapter 2 verses 9 through 14 we read, For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, speaking of Jesus, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What is that? Buried with him in baptism, to which you also are raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he hath taken it away, nailing it to his cross. The old law, the law of Moses, was nailed to the cross. The law that said that Jews were clean and Gentiles were unclean does not exist anymore. And so God has called the Gentiles clean because he abolished the law that said they were unclean. And so now the Gentiles are acceptable candidates for salvation. And so the Gentiles were called clean because the law of uncleanness was nailed to the cross. But they were not saved until they obeyed the commandment to be baptized. Notice again in Acts chapter 10 verse 48 that Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The miraculous gift of tongues was not a sign that they were saved, but was a sign to the seven Jewish witnesses that God wanted the good news to be preached to the Gentiles and that they could be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins as well. They too had to obey the gospel to become a part of the spiritual seed of Abraham. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 we read, But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the world. This is what Jesus had told his apostles. In Romans chapter 9 verses 6 through 8 we read, But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel, nor are they all children because they are seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as seed. What's Paul saying to the Romans? He's saying just because you have a genetic lineage of Abraham, you have a genetic lineage of being a Jew, that doesn't make you a spiritual Jew. What makes you a spiritual Jew is if you've believed in Jesus Christ, if you've been baptized into Jesus Christ. They are not all Israel who are Israel. Some of physical Israel rejected the Messiah and did not become spiritual Israel. Some who were not physical Israel, the Gentiles, accepted the Messiah, obeyed the gospel, and became a part of spiritual Israel. Notice what it says in Galatians 3:26-29. For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, but ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.